All right, we're going to be, I'm going to be preaching today on a message called, What Do You Really Want for 2018? Okay, what do you really want? And we're going to just be in this one scripture, John chapter 5, the Gospel of John chapter 5. So turn in there, and we're going to read the story of the blind man at the pool. And I'm thinking of pools right now. I wish I was down there at Vincent and Birgit's place on the west coast of Florida in the pool. That would be a good place to be right now. So we're just going to use our imagination of the pool of Bethesda. Yeah, yeah. Then they've got a really nice view. Vincent was showing me these beautiful views of the west coast of Florida for sunsets. That's a good place to be. When you get the beautiful sunsets. Okay, so we're in John chapter 5, and it's a story about Jesus and the man at the pool of Bethesda, and it's about what you really, really want. Now, it reminds me, I did see one funny joke the other day about this man who wanted to win the lottery. And he said, you know, God told me I was going to win the lottery. And he said, really? Well, you're 80 years old and you haven't won it yet. He had told me a long time ago. He said, well, you might want to think about buying a ticket someday. Anyway, try to help God out a little bit. Well, anyway, so you have to really want something, but maybe you may have to do something about it. So that's sort of the message today. And a lot of people were really sharing today. And Danny's message, other people, Tim's exhortation. Vincent was all kind of encouraging. So do we have that scripture up, Janine, or are we kind of just one through 17, just the story right there, the beginning. So in Jerusalem by the sheep gate, there was a pool. Aramaic, it was called Bethesda. Aramaic's the language of Israel. Aramaic, very similar to Hebrew. Bethesda, which has five roofed colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, and I'm going to call them a crowd, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there in the crowd who had been an invalid for 38 years, and Jesus saw him lying there, knew that he had already been there a long time. How long? We don't know, but he had been invalid for 38 years. So he was a long time there, and we don't know how long he was at Bethesda, but he was an invalid for 38 years. And Jesus saw him lying there, and he said to him, do you really want to be healed? I put that word really in there, but I feel like that's what he was saying. Do you really want to be healed? The sick man answered him, sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water stirred up. And while I'm going, another steps down before me. And Jesus said to him, get up, take up your bed, and get out of here. No, walk. That's what he said. But really, that's what he was saying. Okay, get up, right? Take your bed and get out of here. And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and got out of there. Now that day was the Sabbath, so Jews said to the man who had been healed, it's the Sabbath. Wait a minute, I got to get more. It's the Sabbath day. Yeah, I'm a tenor. I can only go so low, Vincent, right? Vincent was a little baritone-ish today, but this time of year we do kind of drop because of the dry weather. Okay, so Danny says, it's true, yeah. Yeah, so it's not lawful for you to take up your bed. But he answered them, the man who healed me, he said to me, take up your bed and go. And they asked him, who is this man who said to you, while stroking their beards, right? Who is this man who said to you, take up your bed and walk? Now the man had been healed, didn't know who it was, for Jesus had gotten out of there. He had withdrawn because of the crowd. And afterwards, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see, you're healed. Don't sin anymore because nothing, you don't want anything worse to happen to you. So the man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who healed him. And this is why the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, my Father is working up till now and I'm working too. All right, so what do you really want? What do you really want? We're going to go back and just talk about this passage, and I believe God's going to encourage us for 2018. Okay? All right. Now, he went to a place called the Sheep Gate, and he went to a place on a holiday. What holiday was it? We're not sure exactly. I think it's Passover. But Jesus went to Jerusalem on a holiday. And we just are tying up or finishing up the end of the holiday season in the winter. And have you know, that can be a stressful time. And it can be a very crowded time. Anybody go to Walmart a couple days ago before Christmas? There were people saying to me, that's like the last place I'm going to go. Why? It's really, really crowded. And I was talking the other day to Janine about this place, this restaurant near Roanoke. What's that place called, Janine? Your Home? Yeah. The Home Place. I've never been there, but she went there and waited 2 hours to get in. After driving an hour and a half from Martinsville, she waited 2 hours because the fried chicken there is so good. Evidently, people come from all over the place. Now we live in a small town, and I grew up in a larger area. I grew up in a very, you know, my small town was 30,000 in Long Island. Y'all's small town here at one time was about 20,000 in Martinsville City. It was, you know, back in the 70s, I just read something recently. It was like 25,000 people living in the city. But now it's closer to 12. Okay. So I lived in a small town in Long Island was 30,000 people. And we had crowds, but no. You know, not till you go to, you know, the city, New York City. And if you travel anywhere in the world, one thing we realized when we went to India and the Philippines is that, you know, Marianne said, I think out of the top 10 largest cities in the world, there isn't a single U.S. city, correct? We don't know crowds. You think you know crowds? You think you know crowds, but we don't know crowds. Because we're not even, there's not a single city in the U.S. that's in the top 10.
I think New York City's in the top 10.
No, it's amazing. We were shocked because we were... And, you know, like when you talk to Leslie Joseph and you're in India and you're thinking small town in India, like Pune, oh, just 5 or 6 million with small town, just tiny, just a little dot on the map, you know. So we just don't. It's like another thought process, you know. So here you have a crowded time of year, right? Holiday season. You've got a very busy schedule. Lots of parties maybe to go to, lots of places to go, people to see, you know, all these activities going on. You've got a very crowded place in there in Jerusalem called Bethesda. Jesus went to a crowded place. He went to a crowded place, and he went to a holiday time. Now, I don't know about you, but the holidays can wear me out. And being very active can wear you out. And the problem is sometimes the church is more activity than anything. And one thing I'd like to try to encourage us in this year to say is that we want to focus more on discipling or the word relationships than we are just on passing out information. Because if you fill people full of knowledge without relationship, you don't have much fruit, and you have a mountain of activity going on. Because Jesus did not say, I have come to have meetings and have them more abundantly.
Amen.
He said, I came to have life and have it more abundantly. But sometimes when churches get busy for God, sometimes they're just busy. And we have to be very careful. And I want to encourage everyone here, always just be very careful about your schedule. Pray, seek the Lord about your schedule. One thing that God has to that happens with us as pastors is that sometimes we're the critical first responders, if you will, to situations, and we need to be there, and that's good. God provides for that. I'm glad we didn't have a whole lot of services around Christmas because we really needed to be around for some people. I'm just being honest. And God's turning around some situations that I've been praying about for several months. We've been praying about for several months. He's turning them around. But if we were busy doing meetings and services and, you know what I mean, it would have been very hard to spend time with the people that we need to spend time with. Okay? So I'm just excited. Actually, I'm very thankful that we're not having a meeting tonight. Because we've just been kind of just been there with people. Because you never know what happens on holidays. And it's interesting, the two testimonies that Elise shared were about people who were struggling but who were lonely. Yeah. Right? Yeah. The bottom line is, the man that was sitting there for 38 years was in the middle of a crowd, and yet he said some very interesting words. He said, "I have no one to help me." So that means he was lonely in a crowd. How many know that can happen? And it happens a lot. And you could be with a crowd of Christians and be lonely. And there won't be anybody helping you. And then he said, "I'm in the crowd and people are crowding me out." In other words, I'm getting hindered by the crowd. So he had no helper, and he had a lot of hinderers. A lot of people that were stopping him from getting into the pool. Okay. So meetings are good for information, but relationships are good for transformation. Now, I want to talk about the simple truth of power of the gospel. That sometimes we get complicated in the crowd tends to complicate things. All right? So I want us to ask the Lord to give us a simpler life in 2018. Here, let me just tell you what a simple message is right here in John chapter 5. In actually 5 points, okay, four points. Very simple. What do you want? Get up and get healed. Don't sin because something worse will happen. And Jesus, the Father, and the Son work together. Now that's the message right there. Go after what you want with Jesus. Number two, get up and do it. Be healed. Number three, when you do it, don't be sinning because something worse than sickness is out there, right? Yeah. And last but not least, the Father and the Son work together. Jesus is working. Praise God. That's the message. It's simple. It's powerful. It's supernatural. And I believe that God wants to give us a simple message with supernatural power. Amen. Simple, supernatural. John prayed it. Words of knowledge, healing, prophetic, miracles. Miracles with sound, simple words. Don't sin. That's pretty simple, right? Something worse will happen to you. What do you want? That's simple, isn't it? What do you want? Oh, I want to be healed. Okay. Now, the third thing I want to talk to you about is the fact is that the crowd can hinder you from the one. And I want to emphasize this because here was a big crowd. Jesus did not heal everybody there at that time. He went and found one person. One person, Jesus found him. He saw him. He said, "I am going to heal that person." That was his choice, wasn't it? What do you want, Jesus? I want to heal that guy right there. I believe that's what happened between him and the Father. I think the Father was like, Jesus, I want you to go to the pool right over there. And he went to the pool, saw the crowd of sick people and every kind of sickness, right? All this, it uses four different words for sickness there. Amazing. And then he looks at that crowd and he says, I'm going to touch one person. Is that right, Father? Yes. Do it. Touch that one person. Now, why? That doesn't sound right to me. Come on, if you got healing power, Vincent, use it, man. What's wrong with you, man? You've got to give it away. Just heal everybody. Right? Or you've got money, or you've got this, or you've got that talent. Just go ahead and just throw it all out there. Come on, help everybody that needs it. You know, isn't that the mentality that we have in America? You got food? Give it all away. You got property? Do this. I mean, it's like, don't just go for one person. That doesn't make any sense. But have you know, God's ways are not our ways. That God knows how to do things better than we do. And that God cares about an individual more than he cares about the crowd. Aren't you glad that he cares about you? You know, we can really say this and get away with it. Jesus loves me more than anybody else. Yeah. And that's okay. It's good to feel that way. And it doesn't mean that you don't love somebody else. It just means that he loves you that much. That's how we need to walk with him. And then we love others as he loves us. Yeah, 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 yeah. What do you really want? Well, that's right. Yeah, that's my next point. As a matter of fact, that is my next point. That's awesome. That is so awesome. Because he was thinking, I've got to do what everybody else in the crowd is trying to do. Get in the pool. Right? But Jesus said, get up and don't get in. Sometimes God is trying to tell us in 2018, it's time for you to get up and stop trying to get in. Amen. It's not what you think it might be. The answer for your healing or the answer for your situation, what you really want, may mean that even though everybody else is trying to fight to get into the pool, he just says, don't get in. Just get up and get out. That's not where your answer is. Wow. Now, that doesn't mean you leave the church. I'm just kidding. You know, God is good, you know, but you never know what he's going to do. Yeah, you might have to leave some situations. You might have to lead a crowd. This man had a history of frustration and of history and a list of excuses. What was his excuses? I told you already, I've got no one to help me and I've got people hindering me. I'm alone and I'm powerless. How many of you would like to repent for 2018 of being lonely and being powerless? Can we repent from that? Can we say, Lord, without you, Jesus, I am lonely and powerless. But with you, I am not alone. My Father is always with me. That's what Jesus said. I'm never alone. No, never alone. He promised to lead me. He takes me as his own, like that old song. No, never alone. Never alone. And then I'm not powerless. I've got power because Jesus is with me. I've got the Holy Spirit. I've got all power. Now, I may have been trying to jump in that pool and failing. That's okay because that's not what he really wanted me to do. He wants me to get up and pick up my bed and get on out of that place. Yeah, that's right. Now, one of the problems, he said, take up your bed. Pick it up. Get it up and then pick it up. Now, what do I wanted to share with you about this? What does it mean to take up that bed? That means, don't make a career of being wounded and rejected. Amen. Amen. Don't keep rehashing like someone was preaching. All the 38 years of agony. Why? Because Philippians 2:3 says, it is God who works in you both to what? Will and do of his good pleasure. So God doesn't want us to be professional, you know, professional lame folk. Amen. Who don't want to be healed. Because it's hard to shift the normal for them. And it's uncomfortable. Come on now. It's uncomfortable to step out into something you're not familiar with. Think about how familiar that man was with that crowd there. Everybody knew him. I'm sure everybody knew him in the crowd. Oh, that's old blah, 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 blah. We never find out his name, right? I'm sure they knew him. I'm sure that he knew exactly where he was getting his meals from. I'm sure that so-and-so from that part of the district came by and threw him a coin every now and then. He probably got a little crust of bread from the old lady that came by that one day. You know what I'm saying? He had his routine. Come on now. He was well settled. He was there a long time. That means he had it all worked out. But he couldn't get it in. But Jesus says, don't get in, get up. How many of you ready to get up? Stop trying to get in. And then put away the career of being offended about somebody. Amen. Amen. The moment you talk to somebody, they first thing out of their mouth, they start telling you about all the people that have done them wrong. Don't make it. Go for it. Pick up the bed. Say, I'm not sleeping here anymore. I'm changing my address. I'm getting out of the professional whiner and complainer field. Amen. I'm going on with Jesus. And you know what's really cool about this? He said, get on with it. Get on out of here. Walk. Get away from that crowded situation. And he said, Jesus found him where? The temple. He went to worship. Said, I'm done with this pool. I've had it. I'm going to the temple. I'm going to spend some time worshiping God. And Jesus found him as he worshiped. And if Jesus can find you to heal you, he will find you again to teach you. Notice that he said, you haven't learned enough. You need to know who it is that healed you. And salvation is simply just that. Being saved means you learn who it is that healed you. I've had a lifelong learning who it was that just healed me in 1974. I got healed in 1974, and I've been on a journey now of learning who it is that healed me. And Jesus knows how to find you in the temple. He knows how to locate you. He can locate you to heal you, but he can also locate you to teach you. But we have to learn that we have to walk away from the crowd and get in the temple of God and spend some time worshiping the Lord. And don't let the crowd mindset mold your brain. The groupthink. Notice that everybody, there were two crowds in there, in the story. The first crowd was all the lame people that were there for 38 years. And the second crowd were the Jews. Now, I'm going to talk about the Jews. I think they represent religious traditions. And a groupthink of religious tradition. Notice it wasn't an individual person at all. It was a group. It was a groupthink. God set us free from the groupthink of the lame, God has set us free from the groupthink of the religious. Let's find Jesus in the temple. He was the only named person in the story. Isn't that amazing? The man who was healed had no name. The crowd had no name. The Jews had no, you know what I mean, no individual names. The only individual named in the story is Jesus. And we're still learning about who it is that healed us. Amen? Can we stand to our feet this morning? Praise God. Can we just thank the Lord right now as we stand? Just thank Him for 2017. Lord, we thank You, Lord God, for this year. We thank You for the great things that You did. Father God, we thank You that You met us and You healed us. You found us out of the crowd. And you came to us as an individual and You empowered us as an individual. Lord God, you delivered us from groupthink. You delivered us from the trying to get into the pool of everything everyone else was trying to get into. And Lord, You said, get up. So Father God, we just want to thank You for finding us. Amen. We want to thank You for telling us that what we want is really important to You. So let's go ahead and do what we really want to do in God, with God. And Father God, thank You for giving us the power to get up and take up our bed so we don't longer have to live at that old place that we used to live. And Father God, we say for 2018 that we are not going to make a career of being wounded. Glory to God. That we're going to walk in healing. And that we're going to walk in walking free from sin so that a worse thing would not come upon us. And Lord God, we also ask You, Lord, that we would know where to spend our time at the temple, because we know that as we worship You, Lord, You're going to find us again and tell us more about who You really are. Lord, we want to know more about You, Jesus. We say that no matter how long we've been walking with You, that we still have a lot to learn. Amen. We thank You, Lord God, that we don't even know the half of it. We love You and we know You loved us. And Lord, there's so much we need to have. Father God, we pray that we would not have a crowd mentality, but that just like You, Jesus, that we would reach out to the one. Amen. The ones who are lonely in the crowd. The ones who are sick in the crowd, those without helpers and those that have hinderers all around them. Father God, guide us and lead us to the one, just like You did, Jesus. Show us how important the one is. Amen. Lord, so that we can really reach the ones that You have for us. Amen. Father God, I thank You for everyone here. I thank You for everyone that is taking the time to spend in Your presence, in Your word. Lord, let Your glory come in a special way in 2018. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. 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 Praise God. If there's any prayer for healing right now, any things in particular that you want hands laid on you for prayer, please come up to the front right now. But we're dismissed right now. God bless you. We will see you next year. See you next year.